From the KCPW Danker Studios at Library Square, this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis. Downtown is the epicenter for art and culture in Utah, and really in the region. Home of the Utah Symphony and Opera, Ballet West, resident companies at the Rose Wagner Performing Arts Center, Temple Square, the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art. The list goes on and on. Outdoor performances, indoor performances, galleries, public art. Joining me today will be Christian Anderson, Executive Director of the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art, to talk about the important role that art plays in helping to create a dynamic and diverse community for the people of Utah. We'll talk about the economic nexus between art and culture and the role of the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art in shaping our urban center. Coming up after this news from the BBC. Welcome back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance, joined today by my dear friend, Christian Anderson. Christian, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Christian is the executive director of the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art, which is a cultural jewel in our downtown. Christian, I want to talk a little bit today about UMOCA, but also about the role of art in an urban center, because I think of you as an expert in that as well.
Well, I'm glad one of us does. Thank you.
Yeah, you're kind of my art go-to guru. Today, I'm hoping we can chat a little bit about the cultural core, which Salt Lake City and Salt Lake County are pursuing. And we can talk a little bit about the role of a cultural core in a dynamic urban center. But starting out, let's talk about UMOCA. For anyone who hasn't been to UMOCA, can you give a brief description of the organization you represent?
Sure. UMOCA, the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art. We're celebrating our 85th anniversary this month, actually.
You're old.
I always say I don't look a day over 72, but thank you. We put on about 22 contemporary art exhibitions a year. A good third of those are local artists, because we believe in supporting the local Utah arts community. Then we bring in national and international exhibitions to push and inspire and our local arts community, so you know, to give it context. We also run a comprehensive artist-in-residence program, art workshops for kids and families. Always something to do, except on Sundays and Mondays when we're closed.
And so what distinguishes contemporary art? Do you have, you don't have Monets, you don't have ancient artifacts like they do at the Utah Museum of Fine Arts. What makes contemporary art contemporary?
Well, that is $1 million question.
It's a loaded, long question.
If we find one person that comes up with the answer to that. In general, contemporary art is art that is being made today, usually within the lifespan of someone who is alive. So, anywhere from the 60s, 70s to today. Most of what we engage in is artwork that has been made probably within the last decade, if not being made today. The artists are thinking about social issues. I think a lot of what we do at UMOCA is we try to hold up a mirror to society through art and ask them if they like what they see. And we are much more interested in getting people to ask questions and providing answers.
Now, you had a very cool opening just last night that I was pleased to be invited to and actually to show up and attend for Ideologues, right? Was that was sort of the
Ideologue.
Ideologue. Mm-hmm. See, you're already helping me understand art better.
Well, that's my Reader's Digest subscription coming in handy.
It's impressive.
Thank you.
Can you talk a little bit about the show and what you're hoping to accomplish with it?
Well, Ideologue is, we picked it for an election year where what we're trying to highlight is the concept of an ideology. An ideology is a social construct, and it could be anchored in politics, it could be anchored in religion, it could be anchored in nationality, it could be anchored in a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, these are social constructs. They're not native structures.
You're not just born with this.
You're not just born with this. And so what we want to highlight especially in a presidential election year is to get people to really question the foundation of their ideologies. Not necessarily whether they're right or wrong, because they are subjective.
Right.
But to really make people step back and say, this isn't a native state of being. It is a chosen, social construct. And so to really get them to think about that.
Is it like, why do I believe what I believe? Or how did I come to believe what I believe?
Yeah, or pushing back against particular dominant belief structures and make people really think about what the underpinnings of those are.
Okay, so how does the art express that? How are you helping people do that to people who haven't been to the exhibit yet? And I hope all the listeners out there today choose to go to the exhibit and check it out.
Well, Good question. I think that, you know, for some of our works deal with the concept of, you know, what is the new look of nationalism look like? You know, nationalism is an issue that raises its head repeatedly throughout the course of human history. And so what does modern day nationalism look like, and how do nationalist structures lead to global conflict, local conflict, whatever that happens to be? We also have an exhibition upstairs by an artist named Yasho Kun, who's looking at militias in Arizona that patrol the border and look for people crossing illegally. We came up with the idea, Becca Maxim, our curator, came up with the idea months ago for this, and then we had the situation in Oregon where we have a militia take over something. So, it's very topical to what's going on right now. And in an election year, one of the things that I always hope is that our museum inspires people to go out and do more research and to be informed and engaged citizens and voters. And so I think it's particularly powerful this year.
Well, and you've been a guest on this program before. You've actually hosted. You're the one guest host this program has had in the past. And I know that one of the things that you like to encourage people to do is to get involved politically. That I think one of the roles for contemporary art or for your institution is to have people think critically and to get involved politically and to help support things. Not that you're making judgments about right or left or what's right or wrong, but determinations about getting involved.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the word politics has been co-opted a little bit into being a Republican-Democrat issue. What I want people to do is to be engaged in their communities and exercise their right to be engaged citizens. And that can be through a voting process, that can be through going to town hall meetings and participating through neighborhood organizations and coalitions, but to be active participants in shaping the world that they want to see, whatever that world looks like.
And art plays a role, you think, in encouraging people to do that?
Absolutely. I mean, if the saying is a picture is worth a thousand words, I mean, artistic expression allows people to see a situation in a different way. Mm-hmm. And to have to confront a package of ideas or concepts and to be challenged and pushed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if whatever it is that we believe personally can't hold up to going to an art museum and seeing an artwork that might have a different point of view, then how strong are we in our beliefs in the first place?
Sure. I want to spend a second, just because we care a lot about the economy of downtown, and I think art also plays a role in economic development. At least that's a predisposition. That's an ideology. That's an ideology that I have, that art and economic development are really linked together, and that one reason that companies might choose to locate downtown, or that people might want to live downtown, or that the professionals, creative people generally are attracted to urban centers is because there is a lot of art and expression, and it's a little bit more interesting and diverse, and there's a texture to urban life influenced by art that is very different than a more suburban experience. I don't know if you would agree with that, but that's something that I've thought a lot about is what role does art play in creating a more dynamic and diverse community, a more dynamic and diverse downtown?
Well, I think what you're talking about is a quality of life issue, and not necessarily that a suburban lifestyle is a non-quality life. But one of the things that's happening in an increasingly digital economy and digital age is discretionary time and discretionary dollars, and those two often go hand in hand, and how we choose to exercise those has changed. People are looking for value-added propositions. They're looking for experiential things. And I think that arts and culture centers play a huge role in that. We are becoming more sophisticated in the food that we eat, in the beverages that we drink, in the books that we read, because we can, because there is a broader choice. And I think that if we are going to be competitive, we need to provide people those choices. And really what it is expanding a quality of life.
Yeah.
People are willing to pay for that premium.
When we talk to companies, there have been a lot of particularly tech companies that have relocated to downtown Salt Lake City recently, Mastery Connect, Experticity, Workday. And when we talk to these companies, we say, why did you choose downtown? Because candidly, it can be a little more expensive. And they've all said, our employees have an expectation that culture and art and interesting dining, as you said, that those are things that are really relevant to a younger, more sophisticated, more technological workforce. And that's something that people really seem to be craving when they're thinking about where they might locate their business or where they may choose to live. And so I think you guys at the Contemporary Art Museum play a role in making that happen.
I would like to think so, and not just us at the Contemporary Art Museum, but I mean, a shout out to all of my colleagues who are in the cultural sector. An art museum, contemporary or not, can't exist by itself without a vibrant ballet, without a vibrant symphony,
right,
without the, you know, Rose Wagner, without the film series, without the amazing restaurateurs that we have. We all, the rising tide lifts all of the boats.
It's a system, really, in a lot of ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about efforts to make us even more culturally relevant in the next 20 years. Welcome back. You're listening to Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joined today by my friend and art mentor, Christian Anderson. Christian is the executive director of the Utah Museum of Contemporary Art, affectionately known as UMOCA. Christian, thanks again for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Having a very deep conversation today about the role of art in society and economy, and particularly as it relates to downtown Salt Lake City. In 2010, Salt Lake City and Salt Lake County signed an interlocal agreement to dedicate some additional sales tax revenue. It's mostly money, candidly, that's being generated by City Creek Center, to help create a cultural core in the downtown area. And this money has been accruing for the last 5 years. A few weeks ago, City and County issued an RFP for someone to create a master plan to think about how this $500,000 a year could be spent for the next 20 years to create a cultural core, and something the Downtown Alliance is very interested in, very supportive of, happy to see this process moving forward. I know that you've been interested in this conversation. What role do you think the public sector can or should play in creating something like a cultural core and helping to develop culture and supporting art? What role do you think they play in that?
Well, in order to have a thriving arts and culture sector, you have to have a balance. There has to be public, private, and individual support. A three-legged stool is an inherently stable device, and mm-hmm. if any one of those legs becomes too short, the stool tips over.
It's very uncomfortable to sit on as well.
A two-legged stool?
A two-legged stool. It's very hard.
But the thing about arts and culture is, yes, they are economic drivers, like we were talking about earlier. You know, people that come to a museum or a play or a symphony performance are going to go out to a restaurant. They might mm-hmm. come in from out of town to stay at a hotel. But the internal revenue generation for us, like for us as a museum, we don't create a product that you sell or accrue it like a normal business would sell widgets or whatever it happens
right.
to be. So in order, it takes about $35 per visitor for us to put on the exhibitions that we do. So that money has to come from somewhere. And some of that has to come from public support, because we as a society share a burden of creating a beautiful and culturally diverse place that we live.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a shared burden of all people. Business also has a role, and then the individuals will choose to support the particular programs that they want.
So you guys don't charge $35 for people to come?
I wish.
How much do you charge?
We don't charge anything.
Wow.
We are free to the public. We suggest people do a $5 donation, but it's always free to come to UMOCA.
It's your choice. So when people go to UMOCA, they are getting a $35 value by coming in and having that UMOCA experience. That's how I'd like to think of it.
At a minimum. And that's assuming that they don't participate in any of the arts programs or any of the education. They could have hundreds of dollar value.
Yeah. So I think typically when people think about the economic role of art and culture, mm-hmm. We've talked about this a little bit with the Eccles Theater. So, city and county and the Eccles family and the Millers and lots of other donors cumulatively donating $125 million to build this new facility. One of the arguments for it has been as an economic driver, having, you know, 250, 300 performances a year, all the people that will come downtown, as you said, eat in restaurants. But as we've moved forward on this, it's actually become really apparent to me that it's much more than just people going to Lamb's or Martine or Cafe Molise before they go to a show. Mm-hmm. It's really about saying we want to be the kind of community that attracts brilliant people. I want the best, smartest, most innovative, entrepreneurial people in the world thinking about living in downtown Salt Lake City and saying, this is my city, I'm proud of the city. And having cultural institutions like the Eccles Theater or, you know, the legacy arts organizations like Ballet West, Utah Symphony and Opera, the Ryrie May Residence. Yeah, Ryrie Woodbury, RDT, Plan B, SB Dance. Those are things that people who are creative tend to care about and tend to want to have in their community. And that, I don't know that we've ever studied that. I think Richard Florida, who wrote a book about it, has looked at it for other communities, but that seems so relevant to us at this stage of our growth as kind of a burgeoning urban center.
Absolutely. I mean, and not only to attract people who are coming from cities that have those amenities, and if we want to be competitive with those cities, we have to have those amenities too, but providing amenities for the people that have lived here their whole lives.
Yeah.
I had a really salient point, and now that we're on live radio, it has completely slipped my mind. But I will use this moment to thank Roger for producing our live stuff and having his finger on the dump button just in case all day.
Yeah. So. Excellent. Well, thank you for that weird non sequitur.
I was covering time. It will come back to me. Very salient point.
You don't need to cover time. We have lots to talk about. Okay, so back to the cultural core. City and county have allocated these funds. How do you think these funds might be best utilized? What do you think are the most important things that we should be thinking about? As someone who's involved in the arts community, who understands this nexus, I think, very well between art and the larger society, you know, 5 years from now, where do you think we could be, knowing that we're going to have an injection of new money helping to create programming, placemaking, and promotion for the cultural core?
The three Ps?
The three Ps.
I think the promotion one is key. That's if what we're trying to say is that we are a holistically culturally vibrant city, that marketing has to come from outside the individual organizations to create that holistic approach.
Because let me just, sorry, I'll interject. Because I can.
Because you can.
I sometimes feel like arts organizations are siloed, and the ballet knows who their donors are and their subscribers are, and they're very good at reaching those people, but they're not always great at reaching people who might go to UMOCA or might go to Plan B or might go to SB Dance. And I'm hoping that there's a way to do audience development that raises the cultural awareness across the board for everyone.
And you know, there's also the inherent challenge of the, you know, the pot is only so deep and you have so many people competing for a fixed set of resources, which is why growing the pot is really the only way out of that, which is back to your bringing people into a vibrant downtown.
Right.
I love living in Utah. I've been here, it'll be 2 years on Valentine's Day, so almost 2 years.
Happy Valentine's Day and anniversary.
Valanniversary?
As a Utahn.
Happy Valanniversary to me. It's amazing to have the natural wonders that we have. We have amazing national parks. We have the greatest snow on earth. Yeah. We have all of the things that we as Utahns value. I'm happy to have all of that. I'm excited that we promote that. I love that people fly in from around the world to see it. But I want them to be just as excited to spend time downtown in Salt Lake City to say, if I'm taking a trip to Utah to go to Arches, I'm going to build in a couple days because there's so much amazing stuff happening downtown in Salt Lake City that's an equal global draw. And that's the vision that I have for UMOCA, and that's the vision that I think this cultural core can help facilitate to be the marketer and the underpinnings for a movement like of that scale. Yeah. I mean, let's think big, right? If we're thinking 2020, why think small? Let's be an international destination for arts and culture.
The nice thing about this funding is that, you know, $500,000 sounds like a lot of money. In the big scheme of things, it's not a ton of money, but it's over a long year. It's not just a one-time $500,000 grant. It's $500,000 a year every year for 20 years. And I feel like if we've got a destination, and I think you articulated a really valuable one, that we want to be the cultural epicenter for the Intermountain West. We want to be known as a culturally relevant place with as much great stuff culturally and artistically in our downtown urban center that can compete with the Wasatch Mountains or our national parks.
Absolutely. Well, a compliment, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be an equal partner.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to chat a little bit about how you see Utah's art scene, artists, and you work mostly with visual artists, and you mentioned that you have a lot of local artists who participate at UMOCA. Mm-hmm. Where do you think we're going as a community with artists and their contributions to the larger?
I think that we're incredibly blessed to have some fantastic schools in the area, and I'm going to go all the way from BYU up to Utah State, mm-hmm. That are turning out fantastically talented and skilled artists. What I hope that we develop is the collector base and gallery underpinnings to support them so that they can make a living as artists here in Utah without having to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I would love to see more galleries. The problem is the galleries, because they're businesses, they only exist if the collectors are there to support them. I think organizations like Captain and Poor York Studios, where artists have collectives, are doing a good job of fomenting collaborations and cross-pollination between artists. But the people need to, and it's sort of my responsibility, I guess, to help people understand how they can start collecting and supporting artists, and even at a couple $100. You don't have to buy a $100,000 painting.
Right.
You can start buying some amazing stuff at $200 that supports an artist. And I need to do a better job, and my sector needs to do a better job to encourage that.
Yeah. And there really are some great arts organizations. I know Modern West Fine Arts mm-hmm. is a great new addition to downtown. Diane Stewart has been a longtime art patron and has now opened up this gallery, and lots of other existing galleries that have done a great job for many, many years. That's an interesting way to look at sort of the evolution of our community, to actually help these galleries succeed and the artists that they're trying to promote.
Well, own a piece of the community that we love, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We are delighted to have UMOCA in our city. Thanks for everything that you do. Thanks for being culturally relevant and providing a contemporary art experience for downtown. It makes a big difference.
Well, thank you for having me today, and it's always a pleasure. Thanks, Roger.
Well done.